Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Doing great, Jim. Doing good. How are you, sir?
I am not bad. So do you have any new personal golfing achievements to report to us this week?
Nothing new this week, no. Not really. Just that we talked about how in our more life season years, we can help each other learn some tips so that we don't lose our clubs and leave them behind because, you know, forgetting things is sort of part of our MO now. Because you're, you know, you being retired or of retirement age and me being in the sixth decade of my life as well.
Andy, I can't imagine anyone being dumb enough to leave a club behind. who would be that dumb, that careless to do that? Well,
me?
I'll tell you
who. Hand raised you? But it happens, but...
Yes, that's the story I shared with Andy earlier this week. I was golfing, and the first time I've ever in my life left a club behind, I'm on like the 13th hole at our local course. I need my 9-iron. I go to the bag. No 9-iron to be found. Awesome. We started to retrace our steps. I made my way back to the clubhouse. Fortunately, my club was there. I asked, where did they find? And I left it behind back on the third hole. I was 10 holes later, which shows you, which is incredible for me that it took that long to use my 9-iron again. Anyway, so that's our golf story of the week. Jim leaving a club behind. Unfortunately, Andy, I think the weather is changing. I'm not sure how much golf is on the horizon for either one of us the rest of this year.
Yeah, but it's been a heck of a first start of November and late October. It's been like a golfing bonanza. Like the weather's been beautiful. Courses are in perfect shape up here in the Northeast. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's been great. I still wouldn't mind sneaking out, but I'm not one of those who likes to golf when it's 32 degrees out, yeah. Okay?
No, so, that's a no.
And that only gets worse as I get older. All right, let's move on, Andy. Although I am sure all our listeners are enthralled with our golf stories, especially the loss of a club. All right, I'll tell you what. A story came out this past week or so, and that it's just fascinating to me. And it's been around, I guess, even more than a week about since James Franklin was let go, who will that next coach be? A lot of people have been advocating for Urban Meyer. So here's a story that has come out. It's been denied in a couple places, so you don't know, but it has just way too much detail that to be just made up. It feels like there's some there to it. And as the story goes, Andy, apparently Urban Meyer, he reached out to Penn State to express his interest in the job. They had initial discussions that went well, but the second discussion went south when the topic of NIL came out. And apparently, Urban Meyer's answers were not satisfactory to Pat Kraft. So before I give you my opinion, because I think there's about 100 different things to analyze in this story, wanted to get your take on it.
So yes, if you're Pat Kraft, you take the call and you take the meeting, right? The guy's winning percentage inside the arena, national championships, Ohio State, Florida, did a great job at Utah. He can coach the game. But as we've talked about, Jimmy, and this is a good initial sign, at least to me, that Pat sort of understands and gets it. He's talking about the, you know, how do you still build a dynamic roster in the NIL transfer portal? And he understands probably more than most that the head, the job of head football coach, even from what it was 3 or 5 years ago, Jimmy, has changed and continues to evolve and is changing dramatically and quickly. Nick Saban saw it. Nick Saban also understood. So Nick Saban, you know, majestically bowed out, right? Like, he's like, Urban Meyer is the same. Urban's ignorantly arrogant, though, just as ignorantly arrogant as you can be. And he's a caveman in the modern game because in his mind, he still thinks college football is about him and the head and him as the head coach, that is where it begins and ends. And the fact that Pat, his answers did not impress Pat enough to put Pat for Pat to take another step further. He's like, you just don't get it. That's not what I'm looking for in terms of dynamic NIL transfer portal and how you do it, you know, how you go about your roster. And I think the word dynamic is one that is a Pat term. It just proves Urban's a caveman because he still thinks college football is about the coach. The balance of power is level. It is not all. Yeah, 5 years ago, it was still all about the coach. Not anymore. The balance of power has shifted. The job is changing drastically. And Urban doesn't fit. Just like Nick realized, I don't fit anymore. I can't. The way I know how to do it well, the way I know works, is no longer valid. To me, that's what makes Nick Saban one of, if not the great, one of the greatest college football coaches of all time.
Well, we've talked about this before. Having the wherewithal, the self-awareness to say, it's time for me to move on. It's time to walk away. Our own Joe Paterno did not know when to walk away.
He did not. Nope.
And forgetting how it ended, okay? Joe should have left 5 to 10 years earlier.
100% agree.
And, you know, if we're all honest with ourselves, we should be aware of that. But the Urban Meyer story strikes me. There's several aspects to this, Andy, that stand out to me. One is, if it's true that Urban Meyer reached out to Penn State, I think it's validation of the quality of the job, okay? Urban Meyer still has the name power to get, as you pointed out, anyone would take his call or
right,
should.
Right, you take his call. Yep, yeah. Agree.
Second, if forgetting what the reasoning was, if Pat Kraft was willing to walk away from Urban Meyer, I'm impressed by that. My fear has been that in his quest for, you know, the big game hunting, getting the big name here, that Pat Kraft might just say, hey, this is Urban Meyer. It's going to be considered a home run hire with the name value. And Pat Kraft did not do that. I'm impressed with that. The fact that NIL, of course, it has to be brought up in an interview. But the fact that it was brought up in a way that Pat Kraft was testing the interviewee on his plan for it went deeper than just, oh, by the way, NIL, right? Yeah, got to do it. It obviously went deeper than that, the conversation, which I appreciate that is part of the interviewing process, that it went deeper. Now, what I'm also curious, though, Andy, is how do you, or Urban Meyer, how does he mess up the question? All right. He's got to know the topic comes up. So what's the aspect of it that is it Urban Meyer saying, hey, you guys handle that. I don't want to be part of it. Was it his lack of enthusiasm? Was it his lack of knowledge in it? Really curious.
It's his lack of knowledge. He hasn't been inside the arena, Jimmy. He knows the arena, and he thinks he understands it. That's what makes him ignorantly arrogant. And he thinks he understands it, but he doesn't really know it because he hasn't had to do it. He hasn't had to do it, Jimmy. He has not had to do this with both the transfer portal and the modern NIL and all of this money. He hasn't had to do it. So he simply lacks the qualified experience and knowledge to be able to do this well today, let alone going forward. It's changing year over year, Jimmy. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just trying to make a point.
Yes, you are. You're yelling at me, Andy. I'm very sensitive.
It's changing fast year over year. Maybe we're about to settle a little bit down for a year or two, but there's more change coming. So he simply, you know, I think this is just my two cents. I think Pat takes the call. You should take the call. You have the interview. I think Pat was looking for a way to show him out the door.
And that very well could be it, that Pat realizes this isn't the right guy. And you've heard me say this, Andy, I don't want the last Urban Meyer. I want the next Urban Meyer, okay? How do you identify that? And, you know, as an example, Kurt Cignetti has been talked about so much as the idea of what you would want in this next coach. And he's obviously not available because of signing the extension at Indiana. But congratulations to Indiana for finding that guy. Before he took the job at Indiana, nobody knew his name, Andy. So the question is, who's the next guy who's unknown but could do what Kurt Cignetti did at Indiana, what Urban Meyer previously did at Ohio State and Florida and Utah? How do you find that next guy?
Well, I think in some ways, Kurt is a unicorn in that. And I say this out of respect and look at what he's done. Less resources, right? He has the least of the resources. Bottom third in the Big Ten resource-wise, right? And Penn State has resources. That's the difference, right? Like, they're not looking for Cignetti who can do it under resource. They need to find somebody who can do it fully resourced. So Kurt's sort of like, he's the little engine that could. You're not, and gosh, full 100% props and full credit to him. I don't say this in the wrong way. You're looking for somebody who can manage it at the penthouse suite, not somebody who can manage it at the outhouse level. Because that's where they were.
All right, Andy, that's going to be it for quarter number one, but that is not it for our coaching conversation. It's going to continue when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. It's quarter number two of our show. And Andy, you know this. Go PSURV, a longtime sponsor of the Keystone Sports Network, a 15-year provider of RV tailgating in Happy Valley. They're changing names. They're now going to be Blue White RV. They've got the same great team that fans have come to know, but with more lodging and tailgating options than ever. As always, just show up and let the experienced staff provide everything needed for a relaxed, hassle-free RV tailgating experience, including tailgate games, fire pits, food, and a pavilion showing all the college football games all weekend long. And I think most importantly, they provide you with transportation to and from the game. Forget the hassle of parking at the stadium. Blue White RV has you covered on that. They even have assistance in obtaining game tickets. We were Go PSU RV. Now we are Blue White RV. Want some more information? Give a call at 800-519-8467. I know it's a little late for the Indiana game, but you still have another home game coming up with Nebraska. I will be at that game, and I may be staying at Blue White RV also. If you plan on going out, need a place to stay for the weekend, check them out. Again, that number is 800-519-8467. All right, Andy, we're talking coaching, and we were talking about the story that came out about Urban Meyer and his interest in the Penn State job. Pat Kraft, again, according to the story, has chosen to move on. What's interesting, though, Urban, again, if the story is true, the postscript to the Urban Meyer story may be the Brian Hartline story. And Urban Meyer seems to be all in on Brian Hartline being able to be capable enough to be the next big-time college football coach. And apparently he's recommending him for the Penn State job. Your thoughts on Brian Hartline as the candidate for a Penn State job?
No, thanks. No, thank you. No, thank you. First-year play caller, right? Like, okay, doing a great job. Has tools to work with. Probably a good young football coach. No head coaching experience. This is his first year on the stage. You say, oh, seven games. This guy's ready to be a head coach. Pat's smarter than that. Come on. No. Okay. Maybe if you want to want, Jimmy, I can't see a scenario where you go down that path. There's so many other choices. The guy's coached seven or eight games with like a great quarterback and lethal receivers, and he's chopping everybody up, and I get it, but that's not near enough understanding at the, I know the coaching job, as we talked about in quarter one, it's changing. You need more seat time than that, Jimmy. Come on. This is a blue blood elite program with money and assets and resources. Just because he's a good offensive coordinator in his first year of play calling doesn't mean he's ready to be Penn State's head football coach. That's a bridge too far for me. That's Urban, you know, like pulling the chain of one of his guys to help him, you know, maybe get a step up. But I can't see that. That's a hard no for me. Please pass. If you're thinking logically, please pass.
How good a recruiter do you think he would be if he took the job, Andy?
I think he might be okay on one side of the ball, but you know, he doesn't have enough shape and roundness to him. There's not enough salt and pepper in the pot for me. He'd be okay, but I don't think he'd be anything exceptional. I don't think it's a difference maker. It's not enough of a difference maker for me to, even if he was great at it, I'm not sure that makes enough difference.
See, I do think he could be great at it. He doesn't have prior head coaching experience, obviously. He only has 1 year as the offensive coordinator. So I understand those as the negatives. Here are the positives. Reputation as a great recruiter, Andy.
Yeah.
Background. Who's the team that you're chasing? Ohio State. He's been there for a lot of years.
Correct.
Is there a secret sauce there at Ohio State, Andy? If there is, he knows what it is.
Did Jim Knowles have secret sauce?
Obviously not.
Okay, I'm just asking the question, Jimmy. Is there a secret sauce?
But remember, Andy, that's the guy that you loved because of what? Oh, he had all the experience. He had all the seat time as a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's a good
all that experience. And where did all that experience get you, Andy?
a bidding war. Their defense is just awful. Their offense is still worse for Penn State. The offense is still worse than the defense, but the defense is disappointingly bad, massively disappointingly bad. The offense is just expectedly worse.
But I think, Andy, Jim Knowles is an example that long resume doesn't always translate.
It doesn't. You know, correct.
It's a new modern world, and maybe the younger guy with name value can do the things that older, more experienced guy who we always assume is the right guy for the job. Maybe it's the young guy who can do the job.
Could be. It could be. I mean, it is what I think we have both said, and I have said it from the very beginning. This isn't about Pat finding the best guy. This is about Pat finding what he thinks is the right guy. And the second layer to that is it's the right guy, and it has to be in Pat Kraft's likeness and image. In other words, is Pat looking for a short term or is Pat looking long term? There's a right guy for either one. It just depends on what Pat's looking for and what he thinks is the best right now fix.
Andy, I think part of the story, if it's Brian Hartline, or, and we could go over some other names, but, and I'm basing this again on the story about Urban Meyer, and it sounds like Pat Kraft pressed him on the NIL question. If Pat Kraft's going to interview Brian Hartline and talk to him, remember, Pat Kraft is a football guy himself, okay?
Right.
So I think he could ask the football questions, and I'm not saying that, Pat Kraft knows more than Brian Hartline or any other candidate, but he does know enough to know, okay, Brian Hartline, you're the offensive coordinator for Ohio State. Tell me about how you handled that position, how it was your responsibility, what you built there. And Brian Hartline is going to have to be he can't BS Pat Kraft. He knows football well enough. Correct. Also, it's okay. This is now a CEO position. It's not just a football coach. So, Brian Hartline, you don't have head coaching experience. You don't have this CEO experience. Outline for me how you would run a billion-dollar industry, okay? A big-time company here. And that's what I would want to hear from Brian Hartline. And, you know, the question is, do we have enough confidence that Pat Kraft could ask those questions? Andy, it's kind of crazy season with this coaching carousel. And we've heard, depending on what the source is, multiple guys, and it changes every week, who are the favorites for the Penn State job. Just this week, guys who are listed as the favorite, besides Brian Hartline, Elko from Texas A&M, I saw favorite Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri. I saw as a favorite Manny Diaz. I saw as a favorite Jeff Brohm. Any of those names do much for you?
So we have to address the elephant in the room first, Jimmy, right? The elephant in the room is Penn State has to make this hire by a certain date because of the transfer portal, correct?
You would think.
You would think that.
And Andy, just to
there are going to be guys who are not available to coach.
Real quick, yeah, some guy like Elko with Texas A&M, the number three ranked team in the country, who will probably be in the playoffs and not available till January. But if you're absolutely convinced he's the right guy, is it worth waiting for him and perhaps sacrificing a year?
Right. That's another layer to the decision and the elephant in the room. There might be some coaches not available. If Penn State deems it and Pat deems that they need to hire somebody before the transfer portal window opens so that they can, you know, see who's going to leave and see who's going to and what talent they can get their hands on. That's a factor. The names you listed, unfortunately, their season has gone sideways. Why does it feel like, I know he's kind of like Eli, it's Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri. I know that makes people go like, no, especially Penn, you know, some Penn State friends of mine, they're like, no, no, it can't be that guy. But I mean, he kind of has, he's got,
why not?
Yeah. Like he's got the offensive chops, right? Like he runs a quarterback friendly offense. He can find quarterback. Bo Prabula was lighting it up. He came into Pennsylvania and got the kid from Springboard. That's now their starter. You know, he's improved. They're 27-7 the last 3 years. He's had back-to-back, like, top 10 or top 12, you know, transfer portal classes in terms of what he brings in. So he understands, you know, that well. He 2023 was the SEC Coach of the Year. He's an offensive guy. He's a former quarterback coach. He's a former offensive coordinator. You get where I'm going here, Jimmy? He is, we've talked about, like, Penn State has to be able to find and get a quarterback, and not only find one and get one, but they have to find one and get one and get it right. Right? Like, they kind of got to get that right first out of the shoot, and it feels like, you know, he's the guy. At NC State, they had one of the best offenses. They had several of their program team records were when he was the, you know, the OC at NC State. So he's got all of that side of the ball chops. He's good in one-score games. I know his record against top 10 teams, you know, his big game record rivals James, but we've talked about that. But
no, I actually think he's won quite a few deep, big games.
Big games, but against highly ranked opponents. The record,
yeah, I do.
Similar. But he's good in tight games. He's great in game management. That's just what I think. He feels like the guy.
All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. When we come back, your questions, and we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It's time for your questions and we ask Andy. All right, Andy, are you ready for it?
Are we going to talk a little football in Ask Andy? No. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, I think we will. Our good friend Tim from Port Matilda. We all know what that means, Andy. We know it means a long question, okay? I'll try to get the highlights from it. Tim says, love you guys. Appreciate you powering through this season with the rest of us. I have a question. I think I know what the answer could be, but I'm incredibly curious on both your views of this. Here we go. My famous long question. Do you think that if everything just went according to plan after the 24 season, starting at the quarterback position, Drew Aller takes a shot at the NFL draft? Deny Dennis Sutton, parlays his great stretch at the end of the season, enters the draft. Either Singleton or Allen decides to move on, most likely Singleton. And, of course, Bo Prabula stays. And maybe we don't get all in. We don't go all in the portal with the wide receivers and give some of the young guys that James Franklin continually praised but never gave an opportunity a shot. Do you think Penn State would be in a much better position than they are right now? Hindsight is always 20/20. However, it's looking more like Penn State could have moved on with different faces and honestly could still be at least a top 25 team. Again, love the show, and we'll all just keep trucking on. So what about it, Andy? An alternate universe?
No, they would not be better off because they would still be they would be second tier. They might have been better, and they might have been, you know, that 9-3 or 10-2 team at the end of the year. But they would have been at the same place. In other words, the next level was not going to be had by doing what they were doing. And when they attempted to go to the next level, the CEO/leader of that, he couldn't drive it or build it. It didn't have a solid enough foundation. It was a house of cards with toothpicks, and it crumbled fast. So that was the ceiling. You saw that was, if you wanted that and you wanted to stay there, then James was your guy. That was the guy to keep you there. That's very obvious to me.
Andy, I'm going to take the other side on this. I think Tim has a point. All these guys coming back seem to have the opposite effect. As soon as they didn't play well in the out of conference, despite, you know, those blowout games, they were not playing well. We knew there was an issue, and I hate to do it, but I'm going to put a lot of this on Drew Aller. They didn't look good those first three games. A lot of it because Drew Aller didn't look good, didn't play well. This is not about did they make the wrong decision in bringing Drew back. They had every reason to believe he would be a really good quarterback. It didn't happen, though. So it's not that I would recommend them saying, hey, move on, Drew. We prefer Bo. But I think the end result would have been they'd be better off with Bo. And I don't think if they had lost to Oregon, I don't think they would have had the same psychological damage that they had this year with this crew. Once they lost to Oregon, it seemed like just everything was gone for this team. They lost their enthusiasm, whether it's you put it on the feet of the leadership of the team, the coaching staff. They did not handle it. I think it would have been much different in Tim's universe that we had there. We could agree to disagree that Jim is right and Andy is wrong. Let's move on, Andy. How about Randy in Charlotte says, how has Ohio State separated itself from Penn State over the last decade? What did they do differently, Andy?
Well, they recruit more 4 and 5 stars to start with.
You realize the question there is how come? Why do they get them and Penn State doesn't? If you go back a decade, I think what Randy's saying is, you know, Penn State was the equivalent as good or even better than Ohio State.
Yeah, because
up to a certain point. But what happened in the last 10, 12 years?
They play for and win more championships. At whether that's at the conference or part of the national championship picture. And they, for what they need and the offense that they run, they kind of don't. Doesn't Ohio State always seem to kind of get the quarterback right? Whether that quarterback translates great to the NFL, some of them don't, right? Like Justin Fields is struggling, but he was. Right for Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, right for Ohio State. You know, Howard was right for Ohio State to win him a national championship. Now they got their young guy. Boy, does that kid look right for them. They get the quarterback right. And that 4 and 5-star better recruiting, it starts and ends at the wide receiver position because they seem to identify them, find them, and then develop them at just borderline ridiculous level, not just one or two, like five of them, right? Like every 2 years, it seems like they have 5 receivers that are like ridiculously good. So they send them to the NFL like cordwood. So they compete for and at a higher level consistently And they consistently out-recruit Penn State in the last decade.
Andy, I hear you, and everything you say is correct. But I think the things that you're saying essentially is they get better players and they play better. The question is why? Okay, what happened? Well, I think in that time period that Randy's talking about, Penn State went through what no other football program in college football has gone through, okay? And this is where, you know, I'm sometimes accused of being a James Franklin fanboy, but I'm going to give him a lot of credit for where Penn State was when he took over the program, okay?
Agreed.
Meanwhile, Ohio State did not have to go through that. They brought in a name we talked about quite a bit in quarter number one, Urban Meyer. Remember, all the talk was he was ready to take over for Joe Paterno, okay? That obviously didn't happen, and he ended up taking over Ohio State. So you had the right guy then at the right time. He started winning championships. He did the recruiting better. You mentioned, you know, they make the right choice at quarterback. No, they don't. What they do is they bring in three every year of the best quarterbacks in the country, and then, you know, get the best of the three, okay? Which it just, it's the recruiting question, the quality of the recruiting. Then I think what happened, Andy, is around that time frame, if you started winning and college football became such big business, it then became, you know, a body in motion stayed in motion. The teams that at the very top, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Georgias, once they reached that caliber, their recruiting remained better because they were the best teams and the best players went to the best teams, made them the best teams, which meant they got the best players. This vicious cycle took place. And I think that's what was going on there, Andy. All right, let's get to the next question, and that's Carl from Annapolis, who says, Andy, how much attrition through the portal do you see happening after this season?
Oh, man. That's a really good question, Carl.
How about a lot?
I was trying to think of a percentage. I'm thinking like 25, maybe a third of your two deep depth chart that doesn't go to the NFL, that isn't eligible to take their shot at the NFL. They're leaving anyway. So you're too deep, whatever you have left after your NFL guys are gone, I think a third of that, at least a third of that hits the transfer portal. So I think a third of what would be relative contributing players or opportunity to be contributing players for 2026 will be gone.
Andy, I think here are the couple variables to it. One of the variables is who is the coach that is the incoming coach? Can they bring someone in early enough and who's strong enough to make it attractive for these players to stick around? Okay, that's going to be one of the variables. And hey, maybe it's Manny Diaz. If it is, does that make a difference to some of these players since they know him and he was just here a couple years ago? The other variable, Andy, I think anyway, is does James Franklin get a job right away and where? There's all the talk now of him going to Virginia Tech. I don't think that's a good case scenario for Penn State because a lot of these players are from that region. And it's easy for them to follow him there. You know, if he ends up in Arkansas, it's a little tougher from the kid from Maryland or Virginia to head to Arkansas. But if he's at Virginia Tech, Andy, I think there could be even more players who follow James.
I still think it's a third, Jimmy. Maybe Manny rescues it at 20 and it's a quarter, but I'm just – it's all a guess, but I still think if at the end of the day Penn State loses only a third of their roster or 25% of what's left of their 2D, that's not bad.
All right, let's sneak in one last question. Sure. Jason from Dallas says, have you seen any actual difference on the field due to the changeover to Terry Smith at coach?
No, absolutely none. No, I mean, they played harder against Iowa. They played really hard against Iowa. It probably didn't look like it against Ohio State, but that's for a reason. But other than that, no. I mean, he's handicapped with a greenhorn quarterback, but no. Absolutely. To answer your question, Jason, good one. Have I seen anything? Nope.
All right. Andy's answer was no. I'm going to go a little bit different than you, Andy. I'm going to say big no. Big no. We've seen nothing. Well, the closest thing to a difference is Catron Allen is getting more carries than Nick Singleton. That would have happened, though, I think, with James. The answer is no. There's been no difference, and that's been a real disappointment to me, Jason. So guess what? Andy, how about we kind of pick up this conversation when we come back?
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. Andy, let's get back to on the field, this current Penn State team. We spent time talking about the coaching prospects. And I'm going to start us off where we were with the last question in our Ask Andy segment, which was Jason from Dallas, who asked if there were any differences when Terry Smith took over the team. And you and I were both emphatic with our answer of no, there wasn't. That surprise you at all?
No, I snuck it in quickly. He's handicapped at the quarterback position. Okay. Everybody knows that. What can you do about it? It's the same two coordinators. He was just a position coach. He's now the interim head coach, which is a tough tab to have. Like, I'm not sure Andy and Jim are really going to listen to Terry, to be honest with you. Like, he's my boss. You know what I mean? Like, they've got a chain of command. They might have a little bit of a chain of command problem in terms of what, you know. Yeah, I'm listening, but do they really hear you? Probably not. And you know what? I said it to you last game, offensively. I know we'll get defensively. Offensively, I've been trying to figure out what their play calling and what they're like, what they're trying to do and everything. I figured it out when I was watching the Ohio State game. Ohio State's just simply better, right? Like, okay, they're a better football team. You have to acknowledge that, first of all. They're better than us. That defense, despite, you know, okay, it's not a rebuild offensive line or defensive line anymore. It's now a defensive line that's open a can of you know what on people. So you have to acknowledge that they're better. And your strategy and play calling has to reflect that. Their strategy and play calling, their offense, this Penn State offense acts like they're better than you. They call it like they think, like, we're better than you. We're just going to do our stuff and we're going to be better at it than you are. No, they're better than you are. You have to adjust off of that. and do something that they can't expect, because they know what you're going to do, because you call exactly what you call, because you think you're better than everybody. That's the way this offense has been coordinated and called in 2025. And it's the greatest flaw that I've, it took me all these, watching all these games to figure it out. Oh, they just simply think they're better than everybody. And against Ohio State, that's clearly not the case. And it was very obvious to me.
Andy, you mentioned about the chain of command, you know, do the coordinators respect the interim head coach? Are they allowing, are taking his advice? Well, one of the things that strikes me is there was always the conversation among fans and the media, if you didn't like what the play calling that was going on, it wasn't Andy Kotelnicki's fault. It was James Franklin interfering with the play calling.
Correct.
You know what? After these couple games without James Franklin,
it's Andy. Andy's the problem.
It's Andy Kotelnicki.
Yeah, he's the problem. Yeah, no, 100% agree.
Okay, so, and let's take away that it's James's fault, not Andy's fault. It's Andy's fault. And I have a problem also with, you know, Terry Smith, who by all accounts, good position coach, great guy.
Great recruiter.
But you know what, Andy? I keep hearing from him in the press conferences. Oh, we've got to go vertical with the passing game. He said that last week also. Didn't happen. The numbers against Ohio State are ridiculous.
I saw that.
You know, the yards after catch, meaning they weren't throwing the ball. Forget downfield. How about 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, Andy? That wasn't even happening. And I get, okay, young quarterback, you're looking to protect him a little bit. But, you know, if these kids now, we're seeing throughout the country, you know, young quarterbacks coming in and performing. So here's a guy who's been, you know, this was his second year, second camp. He was in, if you remember, early as a freshman. And you don't trust him to throw the ball 10, 15 yards down the field, you're not doing the kid any favors. And you also have Terry Smith telling us about these young wide receivers. Yeah, we're going to have to get them in the game. Well, you said that last week, Terry, and you said it the week before. You're the head coach. You know how you get that young wide receiver in the game? Let me give you some help here, Terry. Hey, put them in, okay? I'm the head coach. I say he goes in. Just do it, Terry. Don't tell us about it the following week in the press conference. Interim. And I know, I don't care if he's interim. He's still got the head coach part. Is he going to say, put him in the game, and Andy Kotelnicki is going to say, no, I refuse?
You put him in the game, and Andy Kotelnicki calls plays that don't involve him. Here's what I'm talking, the stuff, this is what I think. The stuff we're hearing, the stuff you're referencing, Jimmy, you're correct. You're not wrong. Guess what? I have a funny feeling that's also being said in the coach's room. And it's not being heard. It's not being acted upon. It's not being, you know, there's nothing being done about it. In other words, there's a chain of command issue. You know, Andy's like, I'm going to do it the way that I think is best. And, you know, we said right after James was fired, we're going to find out whether the coordinators were a problem or James was a problem. And now we know, right? Like, we're pretty sure now. Like, well, we kind of know where that thing. But I just think it's a hot mess. It's the house of cards. It's crumbling. It's the Titanic, Jimmy. There's going to be more layers to it exposed. Terry could talk and scream, yeah, put him in the game. Okay. Does that mean they target him and throw him the ball? I don't know. But, you know, it's not a power struggle. I just think when you're the poor Tom, it's Tom Bradley all over again, right? And Tom's a great guy, was a great defensive coordinator in that Joe era. He was the interim head coach. No one's listening to the interim head coach. They're probably not going to have their job anyway. So that one, yeah. You know.
You know what, Andy? Here's the good news. Here's the silver lining, believe it or not, Tom. Maybe all this doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't, Jimmy. I swear to God, you're 100% right there. It really doesn't matter because winds of change are going to blow, and they're not just going to be a breeze. They're going to be 15, 20 mile an hour consistent with gusts up to 40. There is big change that will be coming. Pat sees all this. Pat knows all this, and Pat recognizes that there needs to be a lot of change, and that's why he's looking for the right guy. There's going to be a lot of change coming at Penn State in the next 6 months.
Yes, yes. And as fans, you still want to be interested in the game every week. I felt a couple weeks ago when they got rid of James that they had to do that, Andy. It just reached the point it had to be done.
The toxicity was at a level that was unsustainable.
But I assumed we would see coaches and players playing with some pride, showing that it appears that Andy Kotelnicki and Jim Knowles, they just are completely tuned out at this point, Andy. And it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch when you have the color announcer saying, "Look, this is what's going wrong. You got to adjust to it." And they don't adjust. They don't adapt.
I know.
You know, this past, they're running wide, getting, you know, Nick Singleton on the edge there. Seems to be working and effective. Then they never do it again. And it is so frustrating. And it is time to get a clean slate, wipe it all out. All right, Andy, I hate to even have to do it, but there's a game this weekend. They're playing Indiana.
At Beaver Stadium.
At West Shore home at Beaver Stadium. And, Andy, it's incredible that Indiana now is the powerhouse. I think Kurt Cignetti, if he could run up the score, he will. so you're Terry Smith now. What do you have left to do? You have apparently coordinators who don't listen to you. You have this new quarterback who's flustered. You have this great offensive line that's not playing great, a defense that has holes all over it. Andy, what are you going to do?
I mean, rinse and repeat last week. I mean, essentially, the score was close. I mean, you and I were texting during the game. I'm like, the scoreboard might say this is close, but Jimmy, this is not close. It was like 54 to 56 minutes of a beatdown. And I don't know, you like to say Penn State's a different team at home, but Indiana's offense has scored 111 points in the last two games, Jimmy. And guess what? Penn State's defense is no better than anybody else than Indiana has played in those two games. Their defense is no better. And Indiana has put up 111 points in their last two games. Here's the flip side. Penn State's offense is 125th in the nation in yards per completion. Indiana forces you into a track meet. Penn State can't even recognize what the track looks like, let alone get in and on a track meet with that kind of number. And Catron Allen is the one guy that seems to be running hard, right? Like playing hard, like excelling at another level. But overall, because the offensive line is struggling, the run game is struggling as well. The run game is struggling. And then you have that 125th in the nation in yards per completion, which is awful. To me, it adds up. I'm going to give you a score. It adds up to 41 for Indiana, 10 for Penn State. And my bold prediction, I didn't know what to predict. Last week, I was like, Ohio State gets 400 yards and has 28 points in the first half. I was close, but not. All right, Penn State's their touchdown comes on a passing touchdown. That's what I'm going to say is bold.
And that's bold. One touchdown pass is bold. All right, Andy, I've got it. What was the score for with Ohio State? 38-14?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 38-14 also, okay? Ooh, Indiana.
Yeah, we're in the same neighborhood.
Yes, you know, this team has shown me nothing. They feel like they've packed it in for the season, Andy. All right, that is it. Our final word. Next week we get to talk about it. And we'll talk some more about coaching, I got a feeling, Andy.
The list will change.
It will. Thank you, Andy. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and teardown when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.